You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We received some interesting updates from the guys at Total Energies. They were involved in, or they were amongst the shareholders and partners involved in gas exploration projects in the Western Cape, up until recently, of course, where they announced that they will be pulling out of a relationship that they'd had in place, and they'd spent quite a bit of money up to that point. And the reasons behind that were that it's no longer commercially viable, but those don't seem to be the only reasons. And we're joined on the line by Craig Morkel, chair of the Gas Economy Leadership Team, as well as the South African Oil and Gas Alliance. And we're going to take a look at this and try and unpack what's happening here. Good evening, Craig. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by understanding where we are in this entire relationship. I mean, for a company like Total Energies to walk away after having invested $400 million and the deal being worth a significant amount more than that, what's going on?
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you very much for inviting me to the show and to your listeners. I think this issue needs to be understood within context. And the broader context is that we have a government of national unity that has committed to create more jobs, deal with unemployment, poverty, and inequality. The energy sector certainly is one opportunity to do that. And in particular, our energy mix will need to be based on a combination of imperatives, number one being energy security, number two being affordability, number three being environmental sustainability. Offshore gas is governed by the MPRDA, and the MPRDA is going out with the signature of the president that must all be attached to the new legislation, the Upstream Petroleum Resource Development Act, which has been on his desk since before the election. Right, we see that there is a change in the deal, if I can be very frank about it, between the two pieces of legislation. It changes the deal. We are not saying that this is the reason why Total has decided to exit the blocks that have been highlighted in its media statement, blocks 11B, 12B, blocks 5, 6, 7. They are, however, still remaining in South Africa. They are still going to be active in the Orange Basin on the South African side and the Namibian side, where they've made investments already. So we are encouraged that they are only at this stage dealing with the challenges they faced at Brilpadda and Leipat, but still have confidence in South African oil and gas opportunities upstream. That could then lead to the production of oil and gas from the West Coast, which will achieve tax revenues for the state, which could then be used to fund all of the social welfare programs that it has as its policy at present.
Craig, one of the reasons that was cited for this is obviously the commercial viability, but a lot of it also centered around the regulatory red tape. And you've touched on this now to say that there's a bill that the president still hasn't signed. What does this now mean? Because the remaining partners, the likes of Africa Energy, the Canadian company that remains in this particular project, has the responsibility now of finding new partners. How do we move forward if we don't have, or if the regulatory hurdles are going to still persist? How does a new partner come in here?
Sure. Let me just make it very clear that Total Energies has not cited the regulatory framework and challenges in its statement. There have been rumors about this for some time. We're not going to talk about rumors. We can only go on the statement that it's released. However, the reasons for the withdrawal are not merely commercial. It's a function, commerciality is a function of technical feasibility, right? What we understand from the media statements it put out on a regular basis around Brilpadda is that the reservoir under the seabed is deep, number one, and number two, it requires a particular pressure for it to flow out of that reservoir easily. It's like having a well point or borehole and you're not sure how much pressure is there, and therefore you're not sure whether the water will flow. And so you then calculate the risk profile of a particular block based on the flow rates that your geologists say would be feasible and what might not be feasible. If you have better options elsewhere, preferably in South African waters, then you might go for those other options instead of specifically Bilpada and Laypack. The present rights holders, remember, Total was the operator of the block, not necessarily the rights holder. They spent significant amount of money and given up on that, but the assets, the data of the exploration work that has been done still remains in the possession of Africa Energy and its ultimate holding company, Mainstream, will hold on to that data, and the state also holds on to that data, so that if any of the rights holders relinquish the block and decide to just close shop there, the South African government, through the petroleum agents, South Africa, can use that data to attract other investors that might have better technology, have a higher risk appetite, and may see the benefit of having an off-taker on the coastline, including PetroSA's gas-to-liquids facility at Bossel Bay and the adjacent Eskom Horikwa open-cycle gas turbine that keeps the lights on when everything else is not working properly.
Craig, what does this then mean from a resource point of view? You touched on energy security, and obviously with PetroSA having assumed or taken over the ownership of that Mossel Bay plant as well. You and I spoke about the Sasol gas pipeline as well, coming to an end in 2026. What does this now mean for, yes, there's commercial viability, but what does that mean for energy security and gas supply in South Africa if this block doesn't take off?
Well, there are other areas that are also being explored. They've applied for exploration licenses in most cases. Some of them are ready to move from an exploration right. They've done enough exploration work, desktop studies, taking samples of the geology below, bringing it to similar geologies adjacent or close by to draw analog data from that, and then they make their decision to invest or not. The investment opportunity is there. The resource data is there, and some of it has been independently verified by third parties such as Spool and others who take geological studies and review it to make sure that investors know that someone is not selling them snake oil, right? That someone is in fact been accurately estimating the resources available to them. This is onshore and offshore. So the next question to be asked is, how many rights have been applied for in terms of exploration rights? How long is that taking to be processed? Are there any production rights that have been applied for? You can only apply for a production right once you are at the stage of your exploration right where you're ready to make an investment based on the data that you've gathered through your geological studies.
Craig, when we look at
that point now.
Sorry about that. Craig, when we look at the rest of the projects, obviously with Total still heavily invested in South Africa, the ongoing conversations around energy security are now being paired with conversations around investment capabilities, and the Ministry of Mineral Resources, as the new owners of PetroSA, have already come out to say that they're looking for partnerships, they're looking for investment from the private sector to help them get these projects off the ground. How do we now then attract investment beyond just the feasibility? Obviously, as you said, there needs to be an appetite for it, and there needs to be a willingness to take on that level of risk. How do we convince investors that this level of risk makes sense?
We have an agency that is responsible for investment promotion in oil and gas, and that is the Petroleum Agency of South Africa, that reports to the Greater Manufacturing Department. That effort has been made under the existing MPRDA, and there have been adequate, but not enough, investment as yet in exploration and production. Some more can be done, right? And certainly the need, the demand for oil and gas products locally impacts our energy security. Just to give you an example, we've been importing diesel that has been refined elsewhere instead of at our refineries in South Africa, which then makes the diesel a lot more expensive when used for power generation to keep the lights on using Eskom's open cycle gas turbines and Gorikwa. Now, that could, if we produce that locally, could reduce our fuel bill. If we then move from diesel to gas, we would reduce the fuel bill and we'll reduce our greenhouse gas emissions simultaneously. Significant numbers. I mean, 25 to 35% greenhouse gas reductions compared to diesel, depending on who you speak to, and obviously the carbon content of the diesel itself versus the carbon content of the natural gas that you may have. Now, so energy security on its own must be balanced with affordability and environmental sustainability. They are interlinked. You cannot look at the one without looking at the other two, right? So that balancing act is a function of the master planning of the energy mix, not only for electricity, but for the rest of the economy that does not run on electricity, that runs on fossil fuels, presently coal, diesel, and so on. And there's an opportunity here to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, to increase energy security, and stabilize the affordability of energy costs by investing in these resources. What we're finding is that investors are increasingly becoming frustrated because our National Environmental Management Act, in particular Section 43, gives anyone a right to stop a project without those concerns being ventilated in an appropriate court or quasi-judicial authority. In other words, billions of dollars can be spent, as Total did, on developing a project, and then it is undermined by spurious and often vexatious litigation that repeats the same arguments over and over. And our courts have rejected those seven particular environmental arguments successively, where environmental lobby groups have won, it has been on procedural matters, not on environmental issues per se.
Certainly a lot that we still need to do, especially if we are to get this right and if we are to get in line with the energy master plan that we've spoken about in the past. But we'll have to leave it at that. Thanks so much for those insights and for the time, Craig. That's Craig Morkel, Chair of the Gas Economy Leadership Team at the SA Oil and Gas Alliance.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.